Hello and welcome to The Dish with Nancy Newcomer, broadcasting from Santa Barbara, California. Really happy to be here. I'm your host, Nancy Newcomer, and we're going to have a great time today. Really excited about today's guest. Her name is Christy Vanover, and she has a website, girlscangrill.com, actually a great food blog. So we'll be talking to her about grilling. It's tis the season to break out the grill, and she's going to give us some tips and some recipes, and we're going to have a really great time with her. Really appreciate you listening to the show, and all of you who have found us at our new time slot. I love it. Fridays, 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Really happy to have you listening. I love the feel of a Friday going into the weekend, getting ready to have a great meal, having friends over, family, whatever you're up to. We always give you some great tips and recipes and inspire you, hopefully. We're going to have a lot to talk about today. And I also want to let you know that if you are listening to The Dish with Nancy Newcomer on demand, we always appreciate you sharing the show. If you like what you hear, make sure that you share it on social media. You can tweet it. You can put it on Facebook, email the links to your friends. Really great to be able to listen on all these different platforms. Our home base is empowerradio.com. We also are run on iHeartRadio. We love the folks over at iHeart. If you've ever tried Stitcher Radio is a great app. It's kind of like Spotify or Pandora, except for talk radio. And you can just get the shows there. Also, listen on TuneIn. And then one of my favorite ways to listen to the show is to subscribe on iTunes. The shows will be sent directly to you, so you don't ever have to worry about missing a show. Okay. And for those of you who are also new to the program, I want to mention that you can find the recipes and a lot of the things that we talk about right here on The Dish on my website. You can find me at nancynewcomer.com. And when you pop over there, it'll pop up Back to the Kitchen, Healthy Living with Real Food. That was my original food blog on Facebook, which it's still there. We also have our Facebook page at The Dish with Nancy Newcomer and Nancy Newcomer on Twitter and Instagram. Okay. Just want you guys to be in touch because it's such a great thing to get your feedback and to hear what you are interested in. So we're having a lot of fun with the show and really, really glad that you're a part of it, listening and also welcoming all the great guests. I've had so many wonderful people over the last several months, and today is no exception. I'm welcoming a woman who I am very inspired by her food blog. She just has the most wonderful looking food. You know, don't we all just drool over all this stuff? It's really fun. Christy Vanover is the founder of girlscangrill.com. She's an army wife. She's a Las Vegas based food writer and photographer, recipe developer, AKA foodie and food blogger. Really happy to have Christy here today. How you doing, Christy? Welcome.
I'm doing great, Nancy. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
I'm so excited. You know, your blog is so much fun to read, and I'm just looking at all the recipes. You have so many things going on.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I think that grilling, girlscangrill.com was just a birth of getting women behind the grill. You know, a lot of us are in the kitchen, a lot of us are foodies, but we always kind of think of that as the man's domain. And I'm really here to change that. I'm really here to get people excited about grilling, specifically women excited about grilling.
Oh, that's great. I think that's a great take. You know, I always laugh about it. The men always get the credit for all the barbecue in the grill. Like a lot of the women prepare it. They make the marinades and the sauces, and then they just hand the meat to the men and then they grill it. And all the guests go, "Oh, Bob, you're so great at the grill." Like Bob didn't do anything.
Right.
I'm sort of stereotyping, but I've had that happen.
No, it's true. Even as a girl growing up, it was the same thing. Yeah, my mom would do all the mise en place. She'd do all the prep, and you know, she'd get everything ready, and you know, he'd go out and light the grill, and exactly that. He would sit there and he would cook it and then serve it up. And you know, even though guys grill a lot, it doesn't mean they're always great grillers either. We just kind of give them that role, and they take it whether they want it or not. They take it, and there's even guys who love my website because they're learning those tricks. They still want to be behind the grill. That's fine. But they can learn some great tricks from my site too.
Well, and the point of it is anybody can cook and anybody can grill. And I like your spin on it because it's clever and it's also inspiring. And really, the bottom line is the food is good. The stuff looks great and it looks very healthy. And, you know, I was wondering about that. You know, some people might not think barbecue or grill is that healthy for you. What do you have to say about that? I know there's some misconceptions out there.
It's definitely a healthy way to eat. That's one of the primary reasons that I started grilling in the first place, because when you cook stuff in a pan, you oftentimes have to add extra oil or butter. Same thing if you're baking it. If you really want to get a lot of flavor, you tend to use more oil, and it might cook in that oil, so it's actually absorbing it into the meat. If you're grilling, you could use an olive oil. That's acceptable on a grill, which is much healthier for you, or even a canola oil, and you don't have to use very much. And if you add seasoning and herbs and all of those flavors and spices, you really need less oil. But once it's grilling, it's not soaking and not sucking it all up, so it just kind of gives a nice sear and evaporates. And yeah, from vegetables to really lean meats to fish, you can have such a healthy meal on the grill.
I love it. I love looking at the pictures too. We're going to talk about one of your great recipes toward the end. And by the way, I just want to mention to everybody, Christy is going to share one of her really most popular recipes, and it's on the simple side, which I like. I think grilling can be very simple, and this will get you inspired to get out there and get on the grill. And you don't have to worry about writing any of this down, because we're going to post it on my website. We're going to link up to Christy's website too. So I always want to tell people that, because sometimes people are listening and they're like, oh, I got to write this down. So don't worry about that. So tell us, what are your favorite things to do? Now, I know you have a section on your blog, Rubs and Sauces. Are you talking about just meat and chicken and fish, or are you doing these things on vegetables too? I'm just curious.
Yeah, you can do them on both. Primarily, what's really important about grilling is brining your meat. And when people think of brine, a lot of times they think of their Thanksgiving turkey and that you're going to soak it in a big bath of water and salt and pickling spices and other things, and then that gets really messy and you've got all this turkey water everywhere. That's not the type of brining that I do most often. With what you can also do is dry brining, and what that means is that you're taking these herbs, which often include salt, sometimes a little bit of sugar or brown sugar, and then the seasonings of choice, and that's where it gets so fun and experimental. You rub that on your meat overnight and just let it absorb and suck all the, you know, kind of get all the muscles all tenderized. That makes for amazing meat. But the rubs also translate very well to vegetables. Great on asparagus or artichokes. Those are my two favorite things to grill. You can, with spices, you just have such a variety of things. You can go from a harissa and do, you know, something with an Indian culture or something from Thailand and just really experiment and have a really fun time with it.
I love that. Okay, so can we get into a little bit of nitty gritty with your spice combinations? I know we weren't going to roll out tons of recipes, but do you have any sort of basic spice groups? Like you mentioned the Thai and the Indian. Do you have just some things that, so people can start thinking along these lines? Because sometimes we think in more traditional ways with garlic and ginger, or maybe the Asian stuff, but I'm curious about some of these other cultures or other cuisines that you're diving into with the grilling.
Well, one of the main things that's really important for people to start with rubs is to start with something basic. So salt, pepper, garlic powder, onion powder. Those are four really staple items. And then my secret to barbecuing is actually adding in a little bit of celery salt. A lot of times people don't think about that, but if you think about when you cook your turkey, as an example, you usually, you know, stuff some celery up inside of the cavity, and it just adds that nice hint. So it's that kind of unexpected pop of flavor that I put in almost all of my basic American type rubs. So I think it's really good. If you go to the website, you'll see I've got my poultry powder recipe on there, which is used for, you know, turkeys and chickens and things like that. And then I just have a basic zestuous rub that is used on darn near everything from steaks to pork. And then if you want to go with another kind of rub from another culture, what's really neat about grocery shopping nowadays is if you can go into a Whole Foods and you can get these little boxes of just different spice blends. And I recommend really starting with something like that before creating your own. Go there, get that small box, experiment with that on meat. If you like it, then you can actually just kind of cheat. Look at the ingredients that are on that spice box And then you can stock up on the larger amount of spices in your kitchen. But that's an easier, more economical way to start out than actually going and buying a whole jar of five spice Chinese powder. Because if you just use it for, a quarter teaspoon or a teaspoon, and then you don't like it, that's, kind of a waste of money. So I recommend going and trying the already made spice blends just to get started.
Well, that's a good idea. Definitely. I know you can get a little carried away. I have a really great spice shop that sells in bulk here in Santa Barbara. And I do know up in the Bay Area, there's a place called the Berkeley Bowl where they sell things a little bit cheaper in bulk too, if people are familiar with the spices. But I think you're right about if you're just getting started and you really don't know the blends, that's probably a great way to do it without, because you can get very carried away, and I've been known to do that.
And then you have that bottle sitting on your shelf for 3 years and you wonder, God, it's time I use something. Use that again.
I know. Okay, so I have a question about the rubs and using the herbs before we move to sauces.
Sure.
Do you always use dried herbs for these things, or do you use fresh herbs too? And what would be the difference of how you approach it if you do use the fresh?
That's a great question. I use a lot of dry herbs. However, if I'm using rosemary or thyme, I almost always go with fresh. They just add this better brightness to the flavor of your meat. Rosemary, you want to use in moderation. If it's dried, you can use, maybe a whole tablespoon or teaspoon, depending on how much meat you're marinating or rubbing. But when you're using fresh, it has so many natural oils that just exude, and there's just so much flavor to it that I really cut it to about half of what I would traditionally use. It's especially fresh herbs and marinades. Thyme, you can use dry thyme. I've used dried powdered thyme, and I prefer powdered when I use dry thyme versus the flakes, because they just kind of, again, get more into the meat as opposed to the dried thyme that just kind of sits there. But fresh thyme is my preference for something like a steak, which we'll talk a little bit later. So fresh on those two. The rest I pretty much go with a dried, like a Herbe de Provence for my poultry powder. I use dried on that one.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, now that we're talking about this, I'm just intrigued by the sauces, and I know people can go on your website and check out your sauces, but do you have a specific approach with that? When you're saying the brining, you're doing that with a rub, but then would you do a rub and then a sauce, or are they two separate beasts?
I have rubs and sauces and marinades. So before we get to sauces, marinades is kind of that in-between. So when I do cook Thai, I don't always do a dry rub on a Thai. I will do a marinade on a Thai. And with that, I would take something like coconut milk and chicken broth, some salt, some lime juice, and then maybe throw in a couple chopped serrano peppers, because I like a little bit of heat when I've got, some certain foods. So if you would brine it or marinate your meat in that, and then, leave that in the fridge overnight, that's a way to really put in some great Thai flavors versus a dry rub. It just works a little bit better on that. So there's some other things too, like I do a lemon garlic chicken, because the lemon juice itself and lemon zest is more powerful than a dried lemon that could be used in a rub. That's where I would do some lemon juice and some garlic and some fresh rosemary and really let all those natural juicy flavors soak into the meat. So those are two ways that I use marinades. And then we can go into the sauces.
So the sauces, okay. Let's just briefly touch on the sauces. Tell me about your approach there, because I know there are so many different barbecue sauces, and the barbecue culture is such, I know you call yourself a griller. I'm just wondering, what's the difference between barbecue and grill, or is it just semantics?
No, that's a great question. There really is a difference. So grilling is when you put meat over direct flame. So like a steak or a hamburger, that's something that you would grill that would go over direct heat. It's cooked pretty quickly, 5 to 7 minutes per side, depending on the wellness that you like. Barbecue, on the other hand, is when you're cooking something slow and low. And that's where you see those big competitive chefs with their big barbecue pits that they pull up. And I love to do all that stuff too, but there's definitely a difference. And I talk about that on my website. I teach you how to grill, how to barbecue, and then take it to even the next level on how to smoke.
Okay. Well, gosh, I think that's a whole show in itself. Don't you?
Absolutely.
Well, when we had spoken on the phone just briefly, you mentioned something about the actual grill and different approaches. And I know people grill different ways. Sometimes they have a gas grill, sometimes they use charcoal. There's Weber grills, there's hibachi. What's your take on all of that?
Yeah, there are so many varieties of grills out there, and I've tried quite a few. I've got three in my backyard right now, and I've had many more over the years. And living abroad a few times, I've even tried different cultures' types of grills, because they make them different in Europe and in Korea and in all sorts of different places that I've lived. The main thing is to just know your heat, and most of the time you're going to want to cover your grill. So you're going to want to grill with a cover so that it keeps all that heat in there. Just think of it just like an oven. You want to, you know, if you set your oven at 350, you need to keep the oven door closed. Otherwise, your meat's going to take forever to cook. So my preference is, and I'm not sponsored by any of these companies, but my preference for a grill is a grill that's called a Stoke grill. It's S-T-O-K. They sell it at Target. What's really neat about this grill is it's so versatile. You can take the grates out, and there's these different inserts you can add. You can add a pizza stone. You can add a wok. You can add a veggie tray. It just gives your grill so much more dimension than just your standard grate grill. An alternative to that, if you don't have that, or you're not in the market to buy a new grill, is you can buy all those things separately, like a pizza stone or a veggie basket, and you can use those and incorporate them with your own grills as well. If you do go gas grill, though, I highly, highly recommend that you always have another propane gas tank on hand, unless you're hooked up directly to your house where you can use your house gas, because there's nothing worse than putting a beer can chicken on the grill and your gas just fizzling out and everybody's ready for dinner. You've got
yes.
a raw bird.
That's when you have more beer or more margaritas, right?
Tonight's dinner is margaritas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been to a couple of parties like that. And I think we've run out. We do have the propane, and we've run out a few times, too. You know, it's funny you mentioned the pizza. I was at my girlfriend's house, gosh, about 6 months ago, and I've seen people do that. I never had it personally until about 6 months ago, and it was so much fun to do the pizza on the grill. It cooks so fast, and
yeah.
It was awesome. I love that.
It's so fun. We've done that at Christmas time, actually. Just get a whole bunch of the pizza dough. You can buy it prepackaged now. It's so easy. Or you can make it yourself. And then you just have the toppings laid out. And people gather around, and they ask for their toppings. And I tell you, when I pull the pizzas off the grill, I can't barely get them off the grill before people start grabbing and slicing and looking for their pizzas. So it's a really fun way to entertain.
That's what I was going to say. There's always something festive about cooking outside. And it seems like it's always a party atmosphere, but you really could do it every day, whether you have guests or not. But it does have that feeling of community, doesn't it? Maybe it goes back to the old hanging around the campfire thing.
I think it does, and I love to grill on a campfire as well. Anything that has to do with, I guess it's that satisfaction of the fire's there. You're watching the meat cook. You're smelling the meat. You know, you see the browning of it, the charring of it. It's so much more of an experience than putting it in the oven and then pulling it out. And it really is quicker than cooking things in an oven. I can't remember the last time I cooked something in the oven. Even my turkeys, I grill them for Thanksgiving, and my ham, I grill them for Christmas. It's just like you said, it's more of a social experience. It's more fun. Even if it's just my husband and I, we still just like to sit out there, you know, drink some wine, look at the sky, and just really, really just have a nice time together, as opposed to being inside where the TV is and the phone's always ringing and all those other distractions.
Yeah, and it gets really hot in the summertime inside too, so it's really great to bring it outside. You know, it's funny, my dad, way back in the day, early days, I remember my dad did the Thanksgiving turkey on the grill. We had a gas grill with a hookup, and I think it was so exotic back then. You know, it was like,
Wow.
And you know why we did it? Because we only had one oven, and my mom couldn't bake pies and do the mashed potatoes and do all that stuff because that turkey would take so much time. So what's great about it too is that you can get a smaller grill, and if you live in a small space or you don't have the room to be using the oven, it's just a great alternative as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's primarily one of the reasons as well I started grilling the turkey is, you know, you've got the green bean casserole, the sweet potatoes, everything else in the oven. And I was really nervous the first time because I thought, oh my gosh, if I mess up this turkey, this is the star of the party. And what if I don't do it right? And I followed my father-in-law, is the one who taught me, and I followed his steps. And now I have that on my website. It came out perfect. And the browning of the skin was so much better than everything in the oven. So I highly recommend trying that.
Yeah, my brother does that too. He does his on a Weber grill with the charcoal. And I was amazed. I was a little afraid to do it. And last year we were at his house and he just, you know, I think it's because it wasn't even the gas, because it was just the charcoal. I was amazed, but it came out great. Yeah. So I am curious about cooking fish. You know, I know a lot of people that follow my blog want to eat vegetables and fish, and you know, a lot of times the fish gets stuck to the grill. Do you have a recommendation on how to grill fish? I would really appreciate that.
Yes, the fish is, I think, one of the most common things that people ask me about, because they sometimes they treat it like a burger. They put it on there and then they kind of try to stick the spatula under it and move it around a little bit, and fish will talk to you. It will tell you when it wants to be flipped. So then my main advice, and it works every time, is you put a little olive oil, salt and pepper, anything else you want to maybe add to it. If it's got a skin, most of the time salmon does, put it on the hot grill, skin side down, and just leave it. Don't fidget with it. It's one of the things I tell my dad all the time. Just quit touching it. Just leave it.
Yeah.
And then slowly slide your spatula under there. If it gives you some kickback, let it sit some more. If it slides right under, that's when it's done. And that is, it will let you know, especially if it's a skin. If there's no skin, it's a little more difficult. But if it's got a skin, your spatula should slide right under there, and you'll be able to flip it with no problem. And you can cook it less on the other side just until it's flaky. But I've got these tips on my website where people can go and find those exact instructions. But if you just wait for it to be ready to flip, you're going to have a beautiful, beautiful piece of meat.
Well, I am going to try that, because I've always been chicken. Well, that's kind of a pun. But I've been scared about it, and I always put it on foil because I think it's just going to get stuck. So
sure. And that's a safe way. I mean, that's definitely, you can still get that nice grilled flavors by doing it on foil or doing it in the fish basket. But if you put it on the grill that way, I promise you, you're going to have a really, really good flavorful piece of meat. And for those who eat skin, which my husband and I do, if you eat the skin, it's really great and crispy. So it's really yummy.
Yeah, that really does make the skin taste good. So I have a question about, I'm looking at some of these recipes, and I'm just going to throw a few of these out here. Barbecued oxtails, ribeye steaks on the big green egg, grilled pork loin, grilled artichokes. You have this amazing grilled lemon pancetta chicken. I love these sliders, stuffed pancetta sliders with balsamic fig marmalade. Oh my God, there's so many great things here. Chipotle skirt steak with roasted corn relish. I'm just dying how wonderful this looks. I want to talk about your basic grilled ribeye steaks. You know, that seems to be a classic, and I know you have your own special take, and I'd like to hear how you do it. And we want to post this on the website too.
Yes, the steak is actually, I think, if you can master the steak, you are going to be able to prove to your friends and family that girls can grill, because steak is kind of that man's world. You know, the men are the beef eaters, the men, you know, all those stereotypes. But if you can pull off this ribeye, which I know you can, if you follow these steps, you definitely will be able to, they're going to go, oh my gosh, this girl can grill. So the ribeye is actually something I learned, again, from my father-in-law. All my grilling I learned from men. So I love the men grillers as well. I'm just trying to help other women grill. But what you want to do is get a really nice piece of ribeye. I usually go with a 3/4 inch to an inch, but if you like it thicker, you can go with that too. I like to get a lot of umami flavor, so I drizzle it with soy sauce and Worcestershire sauce, and then you can just put a steak rub on it, or I have a recipe for a zestuous rub, which is, again, goes into that salt, pepper, garlic powder, onion powder, and a couple other things in there, and the recipe's on the blog. You sprinkle that on there, and then you want to fire your grill up as hot as it can go. That's what they do in the restaurants. You know, I live here in Vegas, and the chefs will turn out a fantastic steak every time, and they've got those grills or those broilers really, really hot. So get your grill up to high, put it on there, and let it grill for about 7 minutes. You want it to start to get that nice char. If you want to get the diagonal crosses, you can get fancy, and after about 3 or 4 minutes, you know, just kind of turn it about 45 degrees or so to get the diamonds on it. Then you want to flip it, and then you're going to add a combination of some butter, some garlic, and this is where I use the fresh thyme. This is the secret that they do in all the restaurants. The chefs add that extra oomph, that extra flavor to it. Once you flip it, you're going to just add a smear of that butter on there. As it cooks to the doneness that you like, that's going to really ooze into all the meat. So let it cook again another 5 to 7 minutes, depending on your preference. And then you just want to set it on the counter and let it rest. You can cover it with foil to keep it warm, but let it rest before you cut into it. And that way, all those juices, all that butter, and all the nice ribeye fat is going to just kind of absorb itself back into the meat, back into the muscle tissue. If you cut it too soon, it's just going to ooze out on your counter. So let it sit there 10 minutes and then serve it up. And I promise you, you're going to have a steak that's going to really wow them.
Oh my God, the ooze. I'm drooling. Yeah. It's there's ooze and there's drool. I can't believe it. On that note, we're getting really close to the end of the show here, Christy. Oh my God. I'm dying. Oh, I'm so excited because this really is inspiring for the summer. Girlscangrill.com is Christy's website. Christy Vanover, thank you so much for being here. Is there something that you want people to know about your site? Anything special?
Well, everybody can be a part of the site. So if they use Instagram, please hashtag Girls Can Grill, and your photo is going to automatically show up on my website under the social page, because this is a community. I want people to show off all their grilling successes. So Instagram, hashtag Girls Can Grill, and we'll show you off.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Christy Vanover from girlscangrill.com. We will have the recipe for her grilled ribeye steaks at my website at nancynewcomer.com. You can also pop over to Christy's website and explore girlscangrill.com. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. It's been so much fun. And I'm so ready to get out there in the backyard.
Thanks so much, Nancy.
Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to Christy. And tune in next week for The Dish with Nancy Newcomer. Share the show with your friends. Bye now.